everybody. Welcome to Drive to HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with people that love HR. So let's get to our guest here because we're going to have a fun conversation. Crystal Miller, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Well, hi. Thank you.
It is good to have you back on with us. And for everybody, before Crystal does the introduction, she on occasion is our guest host for us when the need arises. We have a few of them. We got Crystal Miller, we got Dwayne Lane, we got Chris Fields, who we all very much appreciate stepping in and helping deliver the content that hopefully makes a difference for people out there. So, Crystal, if you would, introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll roll into what's top of mind for you today.
Sure thing. So, you know my name, but you can find me on the Internet pretty much any platform with the handle TheOneCrystal, as in the only one you need to know. Very humble. But I do write for several publications. I'm active on Facebook more than Twitter, but you can find me there too. And I'm always up for a good conversation around HR, talent attraction, social media, digital strategy, what's going on with the world today, which I think is what you and I are going to talk about a little bit.
Right on. That'll be there's always lots going on with that. So what's kind of at the top of your mind on that?
Well, so it's funny you should ask that. One of the things that's on my mind right now is what we're doing as part of our internal and external talent attraction and retention strategy. So, you know, are we being relevant, or is the stuff that we're putting out more noise? And I think a lot of what we put out, as much as we'd like to think is it's compelling and endearing or whatever, it's really just noise. And it's not super relevant. We're saying the same stuff that we've been saying for years and years and years. And so at some point, they've heard it and they stopped listening to it. And I think that's a problem we need to address. So go ahead.
No, I just agreed. It's maybe 2014 is the year of, the year of changing things up. So
here's hoping. I think part of the way that we start to do that, though, is to look at, you know, what are the trends, what are the trending topics, what are the hot areas of conversation in the world around us, maybe not specific to hiring someone or, you know, something that you may not think is an HR topic. And I think one of the great things to look at right now as an example is selfies. I mean, selfies are huge. It went from being just kind of the thing that we all laughed at once in a while to the word of the year. It's on the news almost every day. I don't think you can turn around without seeing something selfie-related, and I think there's a huge application for HR and talent attraction with it. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's so from a pop culture perspective, selfies are definitely – It's so funny that now that is so much, it's pervasive. And again, we come back to a technology tool that has, again, kind of permeated into pop culture, into a daily thing. And I mean, it cuts across generations, gender, economics, culture. You know, selfies are kind of like iPhone. iPhone's kind of redefined how pop culture embraced technology at such a level and such a, you know, boundaryless from like a 2-year-old on a, you know, or a 1.5-year-old on an iTouch or a pad doing something all the way to, you know, a 95-year-old, 100 person that's 100 that's actually able, you know, moving around and kind of enjoying an iPad because maybe the icons are bigger, you know, just little stuff. So to your point, I think the whole selfie thing is so funny just because I don't, you know, where do you tie that into kind of recruiting strategy? I think that's a great jumping off point. Recruiting probably has the most flexibility and kind of width, you know, or horizon to be able to do stuff to get interesting. So I have no idea other than my take would be having the recruiting team be really fun. And again, I'm going to use Insperity's sourcing team again as my example. They're always taking pictures, right? I mean, they blow up social media. They got such a good presence on with selfies and like team selfie, just all that stuff. And I think it's a good representation of stepping into their world and showing how fun they are. I think that's the positive side of it. So, give us some direction here. How would you direct like practitioners to kind of incorporate doing selfies on Instagram? Will you stick with Instagram to help their recruiting strategy?
Okay, so I would say first of all, don't necessarily stick to Instagram. Sorry, but. But I think you have to look at where your audience is. And if you've developed an audience on Instagram, then yes, you can absolutely run a campaign on Instagram. But wherever that channel happens to be, there's photo sharing on every platform. I think the first thing you have to look at is getting outside of your recruiting team. Insperity does a fabulous job, and I love seeing their stuff, and that's really cool. But unless you're hiring for recruiters, other than just being that cool thing of, oh, that's a little bit different, I don't know how much bang for your buck you get for that. Where you can take that a step further is to get out there and either through internal communications, you know, email messaging, or showing up at team meetings, whatever it is, it depends on the size of your company, start getting some of the business units that you're engaging with to work on this with you. And that could be as simple as putting out a, hey, we want people to see your job. We want you to share a picture. Selfie, maybe explain what that is, of you doing what you love. Tell us what you like about your job and snap a picture of you doing it. Send it to, insert email address, and you can even run a little contest if you want to try to boost engagement, have your teams, your employees vote on the best selfies. You know, there's different things you can do. So now something that was really something that you were doing to drive recruitment marketing and employer branding becomes something that you can do that improves your internal culture as well and engages your employees. That's kind of cool. There's group selfies. I mean, whenever you do events, I would absolutely recommend that you encourage your employees to take pictures of themselves. You know, group selfies, individual selfies, whatever it may be, and have an email set up that somebody's checking to put that in. I mean, I think Rackspace does a phenomenal job of that, but it really doesn't take a lot to set up an environment of cultural sharing. So, I mean, what did he call it? Culture marketing, right? So by putting together an email and some communication guidelines, talking with people and making them feel comfortable about what the boundaries are for your company, just let them self-select to send stuff in, and then you can go through what's sent and then put it into a campaign. Now, the picture's only half the battle, though, right? You've got to have messaging that goes along with that. So it does help if you think about a tack that you want to take, and that might be sharing aspects of the job to make the job description like come to life in a 3D way. Or it could be showing off your culture. It could be something that you want to do to show that you're in touch with CSR needs. It's really the angle you want to take is going to depend on what you're trying to accomplish in terms of your recruitment and brand reputation goals.
Yeah, and actually, just to back that up, one for everybody that's listening, why don't you explain what a selfie is, just in case somebody doesn't know.
Okay, so a selfie is actually a little broader than what most people think. It's actually a picture that you take yourself, that you are in the picture. It doesn't have to be by yourself. It can be with other people. There are group selfies. But it's basically a picture that you're taking usually off of a mobile device. So what we see a lot of, and I think where selfies kind of get out of control, is where people are doing drunk selfies and selfies in the bathroom. And, you know, that's one thing as a recruiter. I'm probably not going to share a bathroom selfie with someone. Like, it's just not going to happen, right? So I do think that you have to kind of educate your groups.
You know, the best thing about the selfie stream is about, you know, Sunday morning is actually Saturday morning, maybe Sunday morning are the ones like get up first thing. Always hit Instagram because I absolutely, best theater there is for me going through Instagram to see exactly what went down on the selfie world, because it just is comical, at times a little tragic and sad, but for the most part, it's pretty funny. So, but the good, another thing that I think is really good in culture marketing, I think is such a good term, is there's so many opportunities to actually let people share the experience or extend your experience that is going on, like within your company. Like if you're out doing, and I'm going to tie this into some shout outs, if you're out doing something that's really cool as far as like a social campaign or, you know, for your company or yourself you're involved, or you're doing something on a promotional thing that people are benefiting from and being happy, being able to share that experience really does give a broader, more kind of, I feel, kind of multidimensional look into your company and the people that are there, right? So as an example, we've been doing stuff. I'm helping Amanda and Brandon over at BTC Revolutions for a little while, and been really involved and more involved than usual with like No Kid Hungry, and like Hickory Farms is doing 7 million meals. I mean, that's a promotion they're running, and so having people involved with that and sharing that, like in groupies and selfies and all the other stuff, is so cool. Tipmoss is another one that one of the clients is doing, where people are getting tips for extraordinary service, and they're sharing that, right? And that type of stuff that visually is so absolutely cool. And so, anyway, I think there's such an opportunity for the culture marketing component of it that I just think people need to embrace it, whether, you know, however they do from an imagery standpoint, because I think that's really imagery and video is such still an untapped market. It is amazing at how much more effective those are from attraction standpoint than just text and, you know, just the normal business stuff and, you know, just a lot of the other, like, mundane bullshit that gets pumped into the conversation that is so ridiculous. It is so beat to death. Like, show a little bit of your personality is my whole point with that.
Yeah, no, and you're right on. I mean, now that's a balancing act too, right? Because I've watched some companies go from not really doing anything with rich media. So, and for anyone who's not familiar, I mean, rich media is going to be involving photographic images, graphics, video. But they'll go from doing nothing to just blowing their channel out. And one thing you do have to keep in mind in an increasingly mobile world is the amount of data that you're requiring your audience to consume, right? So you can't always assume that they're going to be on Wi-Fi. So you can't always be putting out videos. Like you need to kind of switch it up. It shouldn't always be pictures and videos. You need to have text in there too. You just need to make your text relevant and interesting. And I think that goes back to, for the last several years, we've all really been blowing in people's heads. Job descriptions are boring. Make them shorter. Make them more relevant. Same thing with your videos. Don't put out a 15-minute video. I mean, your videos should at most be 3 to 6 minutes. You know, if you're putting out a series of selfies, have a short, or any other kind of image, have a short message that has a callback that they can go to either then or later, depending on how they want to consume your data. That'll allow them to find out more about how they can then be part of your company or whatever it is that you were trying to tie that back into. Just my thought.
Yeah, that's, I know, and that's, I mean, there's so much, and that's just so absolutely relevant, just because that is becoming more of a daily, that's becoming more of a daily conversation, because it's all content. I mean, let's not put an over level of complexity on this. It's still content. Whether you're writing something, you're showing something, it just now has the ability to be a lot better content. So the really lame stuff is like more lame than ever, because you have these really showcased, well thought through, amazing type demonstrations of how cool that you can represent a product or a service or a brand or an action that somebody's taking, or you as a person, right? So I think the gap is what we're looking at. There's a much bigger gap between what's so lame and what is like really, really kick ass. And so did you get a chance, by the way, did you get a chance to see the new Applebee's video, The Spirited Chef?
Yes, I love that series.
Oh, my God. That was of something, so much talent. The Aaron, who's the kind of the video genius and the scripting, and of course, you know a bunch of people involved with that. That was absolutely brilliant. I've watched that. I've never watched I've never watched that type of a brand video before more times, because you see these little nuances when you go back and watch it, and it is so good. But that's an example of really thinking through and making an investment in your audience, because the audience is very cool, and there's like this whole generation of folks that love Applebee's, and that actually that video actually speaks to not only them, but it speaks to a lot of the other little subcultures that love Applebee's as a brand, right? I mean, anybody can do this. So think from a talent acquisition perspective, think about who you're trying to attract. I mean, you know what? And it's kind of the Steve Jobs effect. I mean, I'm a huge Apple fan, but sometimes people don't know what they want until you show them. That's where recruiting, I think, totally F's up. Because at the end of the day, we're doing what the hiring managers want, and it's our internal customer service. Well, you know what? Step up to the plate and sometimes say, man, you are completely hiring not the right people every single time. This is an amazing person. I know it's outside of what you told me, but they are awesome, and you need to take a chance and start forcing that. That's when you definitely have, you know, the literally a part of the strategy when you're forcing in part of, you know, the talent component of it, right? Because that should be your wheelhouse. And so
it should be. No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It should be part of your wheelhouse, but you need to have more than just I think and I feel. They did a study, and I don't remember where it is, so I can't quote anything, but one of the things that stuck me with it was that they talked about how often we use the words I think and I feel and how little they're received by leadership. And, I mean, it's not like, again, I don't remember the exact here, but it's less than 20%. So that would be one out of every five times that you use the phrase I think or I feel, it actually gets heard and acted upon. That's not fabulous. So if you can start to recognize that those are ineffective phrases and say, this person is someone that you need to be looking at because in your group, these are your dynamics, and demonstrate you understand what's going on with their team, troubles that they've had in the past, retention issues, the group dynamics and the makeup that they have as far as personalities and skill sets and how this person fits into that. Well, now you really are the person at the table as opposed to the rec filler and the order taker and someone shoving paper at somebody else. You know, so if you want that kind of relationship, make sure you have the facts and figures to back it up. It takes a little more work, totally worth it. But to your larger issue of like, who are you trying to attract and what are you saying, that is still such a huge problem, I think, for our industry as a whole. We still talk about us and what we want as employers and HR and, you know, our hiring managers, and we just don't focus enough on the people that we're trying to attract. And in some cases, you know, maybe that's okay. In a place where you always know that you're going to have an open job and there's going to be more candidates than you ever could possibly qualify candidates that you could ever possibly want to interview, maybe that doesn't matter as much. But, you know, I don't hear a lot of people talking to me about how they have an abundance of overqualified candidates. It's usually we're trying to do a better job of attracting the people we actually want to have. Well, great. Start talking to them in the language that they want to listen to. You know, you can't pretend to be something you're not, but at the same time, if you're trying to attract 20-somethings, don't spend time talking about your pension plan. You know, if you want to attract someone who's got some experience, don't tell them that they can start their career with you, because guess what, buddy? They've already started their career. You know, messaging is really important. And so as much as it's easy to say it's just content, that content can be the difference between someone taking you seriously or not applying to you at all.
Absolutely. No, and that's absolutely right. And again, I think it comes back to just forcing the time into the schedule, like your daily agenda, your daily schedule, your planning, to just stop for a second, circle the resources, get the people involved, to actually think that through, and then execute it. Because I think people just don't feel they can slow down and stop and think those things through and ask the questions and have the conversations. A lot of times they just don't feel that they have the luxury of doing that. Unfortunately, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy to make your life, you know, incredibly inefficient, and your recruiting strategy, your talent strategy, whatever the case may be, your business strategy, ends up failing. I mean, you built it to fail, or you built it to basically just, you know, I mean, deliver the results that the people you put in place are going to be able to deliver. And sometimes, probably more than not, that's not at the level you want. So switch gears on you here. We talked a little bit in pre-show. So, and I have never watched the show. It's of no interest to me personally, so I'm obviously not the demographic. But so all hell is breaking loose with media-wise with the whole Duck Dynasty thing. And so I literally have just read a little bit about it, and I've, you know, just from a media standpoint. So how does that, I mean, where does that fit in, and how does that affect kind of from an HR community standpoint? Why is that relevant? Why should we think about that whole thing, other than it's a complete cluster?
My opinion.
So
shameless plug, I wrote about this a little bit on my blog last night, d1crystal.com, talking about free speech. But to answer your question directly, I think there's a lot of confusion around what free speech means. And depending on the kind of company that you're working with and working for, you may have woken up yesterday and today and gone to work and have been met with messages of, we don't want to work for you because your company supports Duck Dynasty. We don't want to work for you because you advertise on A&E. And that's a really weird message to get, right? I mean, because you kind of think, okay, I have any control over that personally? But it's still stuff that you get met with, and it's stuff that your employees talk about at the office, and it's a polarized conversation. Like, I've not really heard too many people go, you know what, I just don't care either way. Like, it just doesn't matter to me. I mean, people tend to get really worked up over what they perceive to be the infringement on their rights or the ability to exercise their rights. But the funny thing is that a lot of people don't really understand what those rights are. And so, you know, you hear people talk about they have the freedom of speech. And I was telling my daughter on the way to school this morning, because she was kind of asking about it, you know, like, what does this really matter? I mean, you can say whatever you want, right? But it doesn't mean I don't have to like it. And why would they fire him over that? Like, well, okay, let me kind of break this down to you in a different way. You know, when I was running HR, we had a situation. Now, Texas is an employment at will state, so I'll just start there so that I don't get these tweets and emails later. But we had a situation where this gentleman said that the glass ceiling was there for a reason, because women couldn't work as hard as men, and therefore they didn't deserve to be paid as much or promoted as highly. And it wasn't something that he just said on a one-off thing. This was something he genuinely believes, and it got worked into conversations over the course of several weeks. Now, he had the right to feel that way. He never specifically said anybody shouldn't have been promoted, but just in general, you know. But it made everybody around him not like him. So he had the right to believe it. He had the right to say it. He didn't actually break any of our rules by saying that, but it created a really untenable environment for the people that were trying to work with him, because they didn't respect him anymore. He became ineffective and inefficient in his job, and that was the accountability price that he had to pay for the beliefs that he chose to share. I think we don't, you know, I don't know that we really have a good handle on how to explain some of that to employees who really needed it, who need that education. And if you think, oh, our employees don't need that, you're wrong. They probably do, especially younger generations that just don't know yet. They just haven't had that experience. And so what are we doing to kind of create an awareness of what freedom of speech really means, what accountability looks like in our organization, and just how to deal with it?
Yeah, that's and 100%. I mean, it's interesting because you have some cultures that people can really like debate and talk and have a conversation around, you know, those subjects that a lot of companies and people just kind of run the other way from, relative to politics, religion, sex, I mean, just you name it, and uncomfortable stuff. And it's unfortunate because then it just gets bigger, right? Because then you have sentences without any punctuation at the end, or you have gaps that people fill them in themselves with what other people think, right? And then it just becomes a gigantic mess, and people's feelings get hurt, and it's very emotional and all that stuff. So, you know, it's an interesting thing because you have somebody that is very, you know, obviously very highly watched, who has some strong opinions, and, you know, how does that classic is, how should that really kind of push over into kind of what the person that owns the brand, A&E, does and all that other stuff versus public opinion and one of those things. And so I don't know. It's an interesting scenario. And I think it's different than like Chick-fil-A, you know, has had a lot of conversation around kind of what they do around their kind of beliefs and benefits as a culture and everything. I think that's differently because it's a brand and employer versus an individual that just is high profile. My personal opinion. But I think that's different. They're getting collided, which is interesting. But yeah, so it's a pretty interesting kind of relevant current scenario that we're talking about with that. So, Crystal, we got about 2.5 minutes yet left here. So tell us what you're going to do for the holidays, and we're going to wrap it up from there.
Okay. So for the holidays, I have my little girls, which aren't really that little anymore. They're 15 and 16, the entire break. So beyond working, my plan is to take them onto the Polar Express before they are absolutely too old to let me do it at all with them anymore. And we're going to hang out with family. I'm going to do a little writing and just kind of chill. I mean, that's really what we've got on tap for the holidays. What about you?
Yeah, it's going to be hang out with family a little bit, definitely hang out with some friends, people I care about. You know, I got going to take a couple days off, but I just got, you know, finishing the year out strong. Got a lot of work to do. Got some we gotta feed some kids. So, you know, blowing up some things with 7 million meals and No Kid Hungry. And so we got some stuff to do. So, but well, Crystal, thank you so much for spending lunch with us. Always a pleasure. Love your perspective. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again in 2014 more than once.
Well, I hope so. I always enjoy spending time with you.
Well, perfect. Folks, guess what? It is a wrap. We're out of here. Have a good weekend. We will talk to you later.
Bye, guys.